This is the Jeff Horovitz Show on 97.1 The Big Talker.
All right, folks, welcome back. Thanks for continuing to listen. Jeff Horovitz here. Remember, the comment line's open, 877-971-3971. Keep those comments coming as the week progresses. We'll hit more and more of the comments. I love all your comments. 877-971-3971. And joining me and returning to the program is businessman, investor, educator, and apparently kidney donor, Bruce Sidlinger. Bruce, we'll get into the kidney thing because it's an interesting story that's connected with Elon Musk. Let's leave people in suspense for a second. How you doing?
Yeah, hopefully that won't come to pass and we can talk about it later.
Let's not forget about that one because we don't want to leave that hanging out there. Bruce, before I get going though, you've probably heard this. We've got this, and this will lead into the business environment we're in. But the station here, you know, this show, Stone Canyon Media, 97.1 The Big Talker, we're doing this $3,000 marketing campaign where we're we want to help jumpstart the local Northern Arizona economy with what we're calling a little bit of advertising stimulus for your local business. So all you got to do is go to BigTalkerRadio.com. and sign up. And you got to do that though by Sunday, May 17th. And then the winners will be contacted May 18th, which by my calculations is like next week. So you got to do it. You got to sign up. And it's a $3,000 marketing campaign giveaway. And go ahead and sign up because right now we got to stimulate. We got to get things going, Bruce, right? And I think it's going to be a long, hard road to climb out of this.
Yes. I hope that we don't have to repeat the Great Depression. And man, I hope that your station's idea is the first of many innovative ways to figure out how to succeed despite the government.
Yeah. Yeah. And go to BigTalkerRadio.com. And we're, you know, unlike the government, if we draw your name, you'll actually get the promotion because how many people are still waiting for that? How many people waited for this PPP money, Bruce? And I told them, and I think you told them too, don't count on the government to bail you out here. And so many people didn't get it.
That's right. You know, it's bad enough when the government is a nanny state, but it's even worse when they promise to be a nanny state, but then you don't get your milk.
Yeah, exactly. They were saying $10,000 forgivable grants and quickly went down to $1,000 and most people didn't get that. Bruce, did you see this article about the cars? I think you actually shared it on your Facebook page. The cars piling up around America in the parking lots?
Yes, I saw that. And then I, being a Tesla super fan, of course, I responded that here are all these cars that have been built and can't be sold. And then meanwhile, in California, Tesla can sell all the cars they can make, but they're prohibited from making cars right now.
Yeah. And that led to Elon Musk. He was, he's been very vocal. He actually did Rogan's podcast recently, and he's been griping about California. He's threatening to move out of there. Were you there for a time in California? Yeah. I believe you were, right?
Yes. I lived on the sand in Manhattan Beach, and that was my big house, big showy house phase. And I still have an aircraft hangar at Hawthorne Airport, which is literally adjacent to SpaceX. And in fact, I have a couple of checks that I decided not to cash. They're checks for $100 each, and whenever Tesla wants to do an unveiling, they go to Hawthorne Airport and they, like when they did the Roadster, when they did the Cybertruck, they wanted to drive it really fast, and they drive it right in front of my hangar. And so I get a check from Tesla each time a few days in advance saying, hey, we're sorry, but we have to shut down your hangar, and here's a few $100.
So you just keep it like to put on the wall. Now, keep that because, you know, it might be like some of those restaurants that started taking the money off the wall. If they continue to drive us into a depression, you might want to save that. It might be like emergency money, right?
If things get bad enough.
Yeah. Cash that check. Well, there's 800,000 fewer vehicles that haven't been sold. So the parking lots are just kind of like they're using these spare parking lots, these commercial lots that don't have any business, and they're piling up. I mean, they're going to have to I kind of sense the bubble was peaking, you know, in the past year or two, because when there's $90,000 pickup trucks for sale for, you know, just, you know, unbelievably priced, those are going to have to be extremely discounted going forward. I would imagine there's going to be some good deals coming up.
it's pretty crazy. And if you don't mind me doing a plug for my Facebook, anybody that wants to can friend me on Facebook. It's facebook.com/Sidlinger. And the reason I mention that is I also posted, since I'm an airline rated pilot and every other kind of pilot, I get these notifications from the FAA. And a few days ago, I got a notification from the FAA that I posted on my Facebook that's telling airports and airlines how to park airplanes on taxiways, because 50% of all airliners are grounded now and there's no place to put them. And so airports are closing runways and taxiways just to allow for storage of airliners.
Just to park them. Have you ever been to, and I've only driven by it, but I remember they actually shot some footage of that. God, what was the movie back in the 80s? Down in Tucson, and I'm totally spacing this out here, Bruce, but the graveyard. The graveyard. Are those going to be, is that going to be a boom business for the drier climates like Arizona, the Southwest, which is mothballed airplanes just piling up?
We already have seen that, because in Kingman, and I'm sure some of your listeners are in Kingman, a few years ago, if you drove by even as far away as the interstate, you saw a sea of yellow. Mm-hmm. And that was like every DHL airliner being stored at Kingman.
That's what that was. I've seen that. I've always wondered. That's what that is.
That was the DHL fleet. And they bring them here because, you know, airplanes don't care about getting too hot. They care about moisture.
Mm-hmm. So is DHL even around anymore? Did they get bought out?
I think that was the end of DHL. I don't know if those airplanes were probably repainted and went to third world countries. There's kind of a trickle down effect of airliners.
Yeah. Well, Bruce, hey, you've been involved with technology and you've been involved with, you know, like you said, flying. You even have a glider balloon, things like the hot air balloon, which one of these days we're going to go up and we need to do like a segment from the hot air balloon.
We'll do a live show.
It'd be pretty cool. But do you see the airlines coming back anytime soon? I mean, they were kind of a horror show before this. You know, you always see those commercials where there's the person who gets to fly in the plane with the lounge and the sleep pods. I've yet to see one of those. I think they exist. But the reality for most of us schleps out there is little leg room and horrible service. Is it going to be an absolute nightmare going forward? What do you project going forward for the airlines?
Well, first of all, you can get that luxury if you fly to Dubai on a non-American carrier. You know, those aircraft are amazing, like the A380s.
Okay.
First of all, you know, as you may or may not know, I got so spoiled during the golden age of airlines. I flew Southwest the first week they opened, and then I flew the Braniff Orange 747 to Hawaii from Dallas over and over again, and then I've had 20 trips on the Concorde.
Nice.
And when the Concorde crashed, and they decided, and that wasn't even the airplane's fault, right? That was debris on the runway from the previous airliner that had taken off. But when the Concorde crashed and they decided to end the program, that was the end of airlines for me. I've only flown private after that, because once you get spoiled, you know, unfortunately, since I've owned business and stuff, I don't have to fly to support my chihuahuas or anything like if I was a normal family man. And so I just say either I won't fly or I'll charter a jet or I'll fly my own airplanes. I've kind of wondered for a long time why Americans put up with the reduction of service, reduction of seat pitch, imposition of ridiculous fees, everything that airlines have done. I mean, it's crazy what people will put up with.
Yep.
It's amazing.
Well, Bruce, is it just that people put up with it so they do more? Like, I mean, I remember when flying was better, but for me, it's always been kind of rotten. And you know, I unfortunately with the three kids and stuff, we don't fly often, and we definitely don't fly via charter jet because of it's quite expensive. And most people are just stuck going on these horrible planes with this horrible service where now you're not even going to get a drink and there might be plexiglass between you and so much more. Look, I did an American Airlines flight like a year or two ago. We went down to Mexico and the flight attendant got ice. She scooped her cup in there and then used her hand to scoop in the rest of the ice. And I was like, you got to be kidding me. And that was before coronavirus. Are they going to go bankrupt or the government's going to never let it happen? What comes of this?
I think what will happen is they won't go bankrupt, because remember on my Facebook, I predicted at the very beginning of the coronavirus, I said the airlines will get bailed out, but there'll be no help for landlords. Mm. And, you know, that was exactly what happened, right?
Yeah.
So I think that probably, well, first of all, it's interesting to think about what might happen to the 737 MAX, because there's probably not much emphasis on ever getting those things going again. We've got so many brand new, nice airliners that are still not certified, the 737 MAX. And then we've got 50% of the actual flying fleet grounded. I think probably what will happen is there will be some changes. A few might be beneficial. A lot of them will be sad. I think maybe the beneficial changes would be that instead of getting on an airliner and flying to Tokyo to go into a conference room and have a meeting, which executives for decades have maintained was essential, because they said, you know, you can't make a deal without a handshake, yeah, right? But we're not shaking hands anymore anyway. And my company worked with Cisco all the way back in the 80s to do some of the very first super high quality video conferencing, and the fidelity was almost as good as being there. And one, I normally predict right, but I really blew this prediction, because in the 80s, I said, well, this is going to be the end of business travel and airlines, unless mm-hmm. you'll just video conference. But nobody, that never caught on. But I think now video conferencing for business travel, video conferencing in lieu of business travel may catch on. I also think that video conferencing in lieu of going into your cubicle in the office is going to catch on. Although I did hear something interesting. The ex-chairman of Google, I guess, was on the television yesterday. And I've been predicting, and this is bad for me since I own two office buildings, but I've been predicting that demand for office buildings would dry up, because now that people have learned they can work at home and employers have learned that they don't really need to pay for office buildings, why would they? But the ex-CEO of Google said, no, it's actually going to mean a lot more demand for office space, because we'll have to have more room between employees.
Oh, I didn't even think about that. And
that's an interesting take, isn't it? I tend to think that businesses are going to say, hey, the employees were effective at home, assuming they were, and who knows if they were.
Well, yeah.
If the employees were effective at home, I think businesses are going to say, well, wait a minute, we can save a lot of money by letting people work from home. And I think the employers are going to say, well, wait a minute, I can save a lot of effort by working in my pajamas and not driving to work. And so there may be at least part of the society permanently shifting to telecommuting.
Well, and Bruce, how many employees are like, look, I did this successfully. Now I don't have to drive. Look, we're spoiled in Northern Arizona, but maybe in a big city, I don't have to drive half hour, 45 minutes to an hour each way. So I'm much more productive. I think you're right. I mean, this will be a monumental shift. Now, you know, Bruce, you're self-employed. You're an entrepreneur for a long time, as I am. It takes a self-start. There can be discipline issues, though. For some folks, I'm not knocking it, but it can be challenging. There are a lot of distractions when you're not, you know, kind of chained to the desk.
I think what will happen in response to that, and this kind of gets me on another one of my hobby horses, is I think there will be a great reduction in the sanctity of the home with regard to privacy, because I think what employers might require, and somewhat reasonably, is the employer might say, hey, if you want to work from home, we have to have always on cameras in whatever room you want to work from, because otherwise we don't know what we're paying for, unless we switch to piecework. But if we're still paying by the hour,
yeah, then we want to have control of that. It's a good point, and that's another scary kind of big brother thing that could come up, but people may be okay with that. Say, I'll work in my pajamas. Yeah, sure. You can watch me. All right. Hey, Bruce, let's do this. I got to take a quick break. We've got Fox News coming up top of the hour, and then we're going to be back with Bruce Sidlinger. We've got a lot more to cover, including I do have to get to this kidney issue and what's his name? Elon Musk. So stick around for that, folks. And then coming up about 5:25, I have LD7 candidates. And he had a big rally this weekend for liberty and to show defiance to these closure orders, David Peelman. Bruce, can you stick around to the next hour?
Sure.
All right, folks, hang tight. We'll be back in just a minute.
Well, folks, I can't speak highly enough about my friends at Timberline Firearms and Training. State-of-the-art indoor shooting range that's located just about 5 minutes north of the Flagstaff Mall. Plus, they have everything you're going to need, accessories, firearms, ammunition, and they offer training. Whether you're new to firearms or you're a seasoned veteran, they've got something for everyone. Plus, they're open, very important, they are open Tuesday through Saturday from noon to 7 p.m., including their state-of-the-art indoor shooting range, and they're offering online training opportunities. Go check them out on Facebook, Timberline Firearms and Training. Timberline Firearms and Training on Facebook. They have a great free 6-part series for new firearms owners that covers the basics of safety, grip, stance, etc. Plus, they've got advanced courses as well. Folks, go check out my friends at Timberline Firearms and Training, just about 5 minutes north of the Flagstaff Mall.
This is the Jeff Horowitz Show on 97.1 The Big Talker.
All right, folks, we are going to continue the conversation with investor, educator, and businessman Bruce Sidlinger, plus LD7 candidate David Peelman joins us to discuss his Liberty Rally. Another hour of the show starts now. All right, folks, welcome back. Jeff Horowitz here, continuing on with my guest. He's an investor, he's a businessman, he's an educator, Bruce Sidlinger. Bruce, let's give out the number here. If you got a comment, folks, and as the week progresses, I will get to more of your comments, so don't hesitate to leave them anytime, 877-971-3971. And Bruce, we cannot forget to finish the story about you and this article in Bloomberg and Elon Musk and a kidney. And Elon Musk has been making a lot of headlines because he's like, California's lost its mind and California's just going to continue to kind of drain into other states, namely Utah, Texas, but Arizona should see some benefits to California's kind of, I don't know, demise from sanity. What do you think?
It's interesting. I think that if Arizona had done a little bit better job with taxation,
yeah,
we might have gotten Tesla. But, you know, I'm one of the few people maybe that has a corporation that is franchised in Texas, founded in Texas, but then has an additional operation in Arizona. And so I'm in a perfect position to compare things.
Yeah.
And I can tell you that Arizona, when I moved to Arizona, I thought it was going to be like a Wild West cowboy, no tax, no regulation state. But once I got here, and it's not just Flagstaff, although Flagstaff is the worst, but it's an extremely regulated and very high tax state. It just kills me with the taxes. You wouldn't believe how little you pay in Texas for motor vehicle registration, for example. It's the difference between many hundreds of dollars. In the case of my big truck, I think I spent $4,000 to do a 5-year registration. In Texas, that's probably $50.
Wow.
So,
wow.
There are so many taxes here, and the real estate taxes are very high. And unfortunately, I'm sure that Elon would have come to Arizona. Why wouldn't he have come to Arizona rather than go all the way to Texas if Arizona had been more reasonable?
Well, I don't know if you remember this, but a few years back, Tesla was looking to expand operations, and they actually were looking at Arizona. And I don't know if I know they have stuff in Texas, but they may have actually gone to New Mexico. And Arizona got skipped over by Tesla years ago.
Yeah, it's, you know, the thing is, and this is why politics don't get any better. You can never really prove what could have been.
That's true.
And so many politicians can claim to have success because, it's just like every politician in California, ever since the whole time I lived there, when I lived there quite a while, said, obviously, our taxation and our regulation is just right because we have such a huge economy and we've got all these great businesses here. And my response was, well, what you've got is an ocean and mountains and natural beauty, and that lets you get away with bad government. People want to live there because it's amazingly beautiful.
Yeah.
They'll put up with it.
But only for so long. You can only get away with that for so long.
There's a point where you quit. But, you know, meanwhile, probably I assume that the government in Wichita, Kansas is pretty pro-business because there's not a lot of other reasons you want to live in Wichita, Kansas. I did because I was an aerospace guy. Mm. But so I think there's a probably additional pro-business climate and additional business there's probably kind of a ceiling on taxation when you're in North Dakota or Wichita, Montana, versus when you're in a beautiful place everybody wants to go to.
Absolutely. But Bruce, I mean, times are changing, and I mean, the good and the bad changes going forward. One of the things, and we talked about it last hour, is that folks can work remotely. And who was it? Maybe Arthur C. Clarke predicted this a long time ago, saying, hey, people are going to, this might have been back in the 60s or something, people are going to be able to work from their farm, you know, and do this and that. It took a while to come true, but here I am today. I'm in Camp Verde doing the show. You're up in Flagstaff, and, you know, I'm in a pretty dang rural area, and this is what's changing. So, yes, California's beautiful. It's an absolutely beautiful state, but if I'm going to get taxed to death, like you said, I can go to Kansas and work remotely.
Exactly. And you know, this is kind of funny. I was just thinking today, if you ask any of the heroes from Vietnam that were in the jungle, they'll say, you know, lesson number one is don't bunch up. And a lot of our dangers come from having too many people in too small a space. And I thought of that just this morning, because there's a Chinese rocket booster that is re-entering, maybe this second, is re-entering the atmosphere. And I watched it, the path took it right over LA and then right over New York and then right over Salt Lake. And I was sitting there thinking, you know, here we go again. We're bunched up. What if on a one in a million shot, you have a 17-ton rocket booster land in Manhattan.
Great. You know? Something else to worry about. I mean, maybe, hopefully it doesn't have some of those quote-unquote killer bees in there. I mean, then we'd have a real panic. Yes. Okay, let's get into some of this. One of your comments you made about the canceling of America, and I want to get into that. But don't forget, folks, to go to... We got the stimulus package here at Stone Canyon Media, here at the Jeff Horvitz Show, here on 97.1 The Big Talker. You've got to go sign up. We've got an advertising package. We're going to draw names coming up here Sunday, May 17th. You got to sign up by Sunday, May 17th. This is a huge advertising package, and I'd love your business, or if you're an employee and you want to tell your boss, hey, sign up for this because we want to help stimulate your business. Go to bigtalkerradio.com, bigtalkerradio.com, and share that with other folks because we want to help out during these times. But you said this interesting comment. Folks, we're talking with Bruce Sidlinger, who's a businessman, an investor, an educator. You know, the actions that these politicians are taking, and coming up in the next segment, we're going to talk with David Peelman, who's running for Legislative District 7. He had a big Liberty rally. He's also, and many others, are warning about the loss of freedoms and liberties, Bruce. And you said, hey, it's like the canceling of America here, what these politicians are doing. Go ahead and elaborate on that.
Yeah, well, I posted an article. It's worth reading. It's in the New York Times today. And even though it's in the New York Times, it's an article about a San Francisco district attorney. And she is saying, she literally admits out loud in this article that she's violating the Constitution left and right. She said, none of these things are constitutional and it pains me to do it. And she was talking about literally picking winners and losers. And she said, you know, somebody asked me if rabbit owners could get together to clip their rabbit toenails. And I said, yes. And then she said, on the same day, someone asked me if a private airport could conduct flight training, and I said no. So and then she goes on to say, I realize that this, she doesn't use the word cancel, but she basically says, I realize this means that we have no constitution right now, that we're suspending the Constitution. And so this has been revelatory, because it turns out that we're one crisis away from, I don't want to be overdramatic, but from a police state, from a non-constitutional government of men rather than laws, where men are picking winners and losers. And that's, you know, so it's a, it really, I've suspected this. I've suspected that our freedoms were kind of a veneer. It's I've also kind of suspected this when I talked to the Second Amendment folks, and they'll say, you know, a big reason for a Second Amendment is to protect against tyranny. And then I'll say, hey, have you seen the the Black Hawk helicopters, the M134 miniguns, the Bearcats. I said, there's no protecting against tyranny. If the government decides that, you know, that you need to get locked up, you're going to get locked up. So it's very disappointing to me to have kind of, in a way, a ground truth that our freedoms are a veneer and they only apply when the government allows them to apply.
And that's what's been frustrating with, and Bruce, we're in a state that was pretty lenient as far as the lockdowns and the closures, but I was still so frustrated with Governor Ducey, and now he's giving back our rights. And I think it's just so sad to see. And so many people are like, okay, fine. It wasn't safe for me to get my nails done on Thursday, but because the governor said that it's safe on Friday, now it's safe. I mean, come on.
Yeah, I made a post about that. It's like, you know, government is very quick. The government is very quick to impose restrictions and very, very slow
to take them
to
off.
To relieve them. Yeah. And if this was evidence-driven, I think on your show last week you said, you know what, if Governor Ducey said, oh, I have new information that makes my previous orders no longer necessary, they're canceled immediately as of this moment, that would be one thing. But when he says, I have new information, or maybe he doesn't, but when he says, for some reason, it's time to cancel the orders, and so here's a slow, staged cancellation of the orders. Well, I think a politician doesn't think that there's much difference between today and Friday.
Yeah.
But I think we lose 1,000 businesses a day forever. Maybe not in the state, but at least nationally, I bet it's 1,000 businesses a day, maybe an hour. I mean, businesses, as you know, businesses don't have much margin. This is, let me just do a real quick thing about the beauty of the free market and how it protects consumers. Businesses can't make profit much above the cost of money, because if they're making a big profit, then other people enter the market to compete with them.
Yes.
So when you have a business, you're only going to make the cost of money maybe traditionally 5 or 6%. So if you've got a $10 million business, maybe you clear $500,000 over the year. Well, if you're shut 1 month, that may be enough to kill you. You may have a 30-year-old business, but you've never been able to. The free market has protected the consumers by limiting your profits.
Yeah, and we're going to see this experiment play out here in the coming months. And Bruce, real quick, we are super tight on time. I've got David Peelman coming up here in just a second. The kidney issue. I can't let this go because I do this too much.
Oh.
You will give a. There was an article in Bloomberg donating a kidney to Elon Musk. Explain that.
So if your listeners want to see it, my name is spelled S as in Sierra, I, D as in Delta, Linger. If they Google Sitlinger and Bloomberg, they'll see an article that is titled Tesla Doesn't Burn Fuel, It Burns Cash. And I was the only person featured in that article. And I was talking about how important I think Elon Musk and a few other super achievers are to the future of humanity.
Mm-hmm.
And I said, you know, I think he's so important that if he needed a kidney, I would give him a kidney.
You're a good guy. You're a good guy, Bruce. If you still have one left and I need one, I'll give you a call. But I don't know if I'm not anywhere near the stature of Elon Musk. Obviously,
I'm going to be more reluctant to give the second one away. But person's committed.
There you go. If he's so good, he would have he could just grow kidneys. So. All right. Hey, Bruce, it's always fun. I look forward to having you back on soon. And folks, Bruce Sitlinger, look him up on Facebook. He's always got a lot of insightful and good articles. And go look up the one in Bloomberg as well. All right, Bruce, take care.
Okay. Thank you so much for having me on.
All right, folks, coming up with LD7 candidate David Peelman. He did a big Liberty rally. What was it all about? Hang tight. Back in a minute.
The Jeff Horovitz Show on 97.1 The Big Talker.